Good morning.
Good
What
morning,
thing? Hold on one second.
Nicole.
Good morning and welcome to the Heal Out Loud podcast. Today we have Kara as a guest. Kara is going to tell us a little bit about herself and what she offers to the collective. Can you tell us what it is that you do in the metaphysical world and how you serve your collective?
Absolutely. So I have a couple different ways of doing that. So the first is that I primarily identify as a medical intuitive. So after going through a major chronic illness and injury experience, I now help people who are going through, major illness and injury experiences themselves. And I use subconscious reprogramming work and really high frequency energetic work to help bring the body back online and bring them back into balance so they can, live a life that they really, really love with a body that they can fully trust. So that is a big, big part of my mission. And aside from that as well, I also have my artistic outlets. So I also am a metalsmith and a jewelry designer. So I bring in those high frequency energetics also into stonework that I do. So you can see here I'm wearing one of my pieces. So I bring that into my business called Kara Stone Designs, and that is where I bring those high frequency energetics into each piece to really help bring the embodiment forward of what it is that you really desire to create, like a like an energetic mood ring that just moves with you throughout your entire lifetime.
Oh, I love that. So I'm aware of what a medical intuitive is, but can you, for the people who may not fully understand that, and then also enlighten me with some new things, I'm curious about like how it all works and what exactly does that mean?
A lot of times when people are going to the doctor's office and they'll go with these sort of mystery symptoms, right? Things that can kind of fall under the umbrella of a lot of different categories of things like autoimmune disease. And by the time that somebody usually comes to me, they have exhausted things with Western medicine. So when they come to me, they're like, I have these different symptoms, but I don't know what all of it means and I don't know why it's here, let alone what to do about it, right? And so in my medical intuitive work, what that means is that I will be looking into someone's energy field or into kind of like their holographic, what I would call a blueprint. Think of it like looking sort of into an X-ray, but like an X-ray of a person, but seeing through more into their energy. And what I see when I look into someone's energy is I will literally see the words of the physical of like the actual emotions that are impacting the physical area. So that's the way that my brain sort of shows it and interprets it in the energy field. So let's say that somebody is coming in with like long-term, like chronic shoulder pain, and they've gone to the doctors, they've maybe even done procedures, physical therapy, but nothing seems to be working. So I've specifically worked with somebody before. When I pulled up their energetic field, I would actually see the word anger, like almost like tattooed on their shoulder. And so I'm like, okay, at the deepest core of this experience, like energetically, there's anger that hasn't been processed or addressed yet. So then I would use a combination of subconscious reprogramming techniques, really getting to the root emotions of and allowing them to fully feel the anger at its deepest level so that it can run its full cycle through the body so it can be fully released and processed. And then after that, people will start to notice immediate like shifts and immediate changes in how the body parts are moving and just in the level of pain and things like that. And so that is how we bring that also and also bringing in really high frequency energy work, which also can just sort of shift reality in that way too. So the energetics of it, like the high frequency energy work has a way of getting deeper into the subconscious than sometimes some of the, I would say, more surface level kind of mental techniques that we have. There's infinite modalities, but I find that energy work helps you drop in really, really deeply, and that's what makes it so effective. So that's usually kind of like that's usually the way that it presents itself with me, is in basically those kind of, like I said, these kind of tattooed almost images on the body, like just showing very clearly. I'm like, okay, this is where we begin, and this is where these emotions are all connected.
I love the way you explained that, and it's bringing up so many other questions. So,
Yeah,
one of
please.
the biggest things, like, in doing energy work and you're saying high frequency energy work, one of the questions is, what does that exactly mean? Because most of the people who we're reaching here don't have a clear understanding, just kind of on a third grade level of explanation. Because when you don't do this work, you don't really know what high frequency energy work mean. And I love how you're like, you see the words tattooed on them, right? So how does it get there? Like, is it from compartmentalizing emotions and then they get trapped in parts of the body? Or like, what is like, why am I holding my anger? How did it get there? And why is it becoming this? If you can explain that a little bit.
That's great questions there. So I'll start with why, where do things get trapped and why? So I'll kind of start to explain that one first. So the body is, we say there's the phrase as above, so below. So when we, the way that we think and the way that we feel de can definitely get mapped out in the body. So I can explain this from a very personal standpoint of when I was in a Like, for example, when I was in a relationship with a largely kind of like a abusive partner, right? My body got, I was, there's a part of me that was very angry with him, right? Because your spirit just wants to be abused, hurt, things like that. And so it blocked him out the best way that it knew how with like pelvic inflammatory pain. And so that made things like intimacy impossible. So I had parts of my body that were reacting with illness ways as like a defense mechanism. So you sometimes we can experience it in that way. Other times it can be very like reflective of for example, somebody who has a lot of difficulty expressing themselves and really saying what they mean and meaning what they say, where we have so much programming that says we have to say things in a certain way or else we might upset people or we, God forbid somebody be upset with us for us being ourselves, And so when if we have difficulty like expressing our truth or really just communicating, that can be reflected a lot of times in like thyroid dysfunction or chronic coughs that seem to not really have a clear origin. But the body will always reflect, and sometimes in a very where there's a very clear connection, expression, throat stuff, or if we're, having difficulty digesting things that are happening in our world, we can experience GI issues. So it's the body will always reflect what's going on in the mind. And there's a great book out there by Louise Hay, how to heal your life. And she has it written amazingly in the book of just all the different areas of the body that can be impacted and the basically the reason why. And those deep kind of root reasons why why we see that tendency for, the knees to get inflamed or arthritic if we're struggling to move forward in an area of our life, or so it's just there's all this allegory and connection. So it's, when someone is experiencing that dysfunction in the body, it's always cool to get very curious about, to really ask yourself the question, and ask your body, hey, what is this about? To really ask yourself, what do you need from me? What's going on here? Because I will always find that if you can get quiet enough in meditation or just to sit with yourself for long enough, you will definitely get that answer. And in terms of your other question for what is high frequency energy work, right? So that's a powerful one too. So the different, this is like how to bring the completely creative into the, into the logical. It's a fun question, right? It's like,
Yeah, and I totally get it. And that's why I'm like, okay, I know what that is, but I'm thinking like I learned what that was just by being in the energy and, connecting and all of those things and noticing the difference. So like, how do you determine the difference between energy work, high frequency energy work, and just, because it's layers to everything. So it's just like this beautiful layer source of energetic, and I don't know how you explain it, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to know how will you relate that to a client, like this is the levels or however you would do it.
Yeah, so to describe, okay, so what is the first question is what is frequency, right? So how would you even describe frequency? So everything in this world, like yourself, like even the objects in your home, have a frequency that they resonate with. And it's cool, like when you see these you've seen have you ever seen those exercises with tuning forks before? See, when you tap a fork, tuning fork at two different frequencies, they or if you, sorry, if you have one tuning fork that's still in the, you tap one at a different frequency, it doesn't resonate. Nothing will happen to the other fork. But if you tap it at the, you hit it at the same frequency, the other fork will start to resonate too. So what frequency is I describe it as like on an emotional, well, when we have like the emotional scale of frequency, it's the, this idea that emotions that are, I would say, heavier or denser, like things like shame and fear, anxiety, pain, things like that, vibrate at what we would call a lower frequency or a lower wavelength. If you remember high school physics, where it showed that, you know, you'd have certain things that moved very, very slowly, like a very slow wave. Do you remember that? And as you move up what we call this like emotional scale and get into higher frequencies, at first you can like, you know, you can go from like shame, you know, pain, fear, stuff like that. You can go to more like neutrality, curiosity, contentment. And then you start to move yourself up higher on this like emotional scale, where you start to get more into the frequencies of like excitement, joy, love. And actually, at the top of the scale, that they say something that vibrates at a higher frequency than love is authenticity. So that scales, and when you get up there, the frequency is no longer this like very slow moving kind of wave. It's actually very high and very fast. And that's where it's like, so when we're using really high frequency energetics, what that means is that we are bringing in the feeling or the frequency of love, of authenticity. And we're bringing that in a very powerful, very real way. Using like a person will use themselves as kind of the conduit to bring that energy down and forward and through them. And the modality that I use is there are two modalities that I use. That one of them is called very fun and whimsical names, but very powerful modalities. They're called quantum spectra and star magic. So I use more what's called like galactic frequencies. So things from the stars that vibrate at an extremely high frequency. So when I'm using myself as kind of a conduit through a meditative state, bringing in that energy through me and into another person and having it help me read the information available that's in their field, that's what I'm helping to use. But essentially, it is just a very high frequency and a remembrance of just the highest forms of love. That's, I guess, the simplest way that I could put it. Yeah.
I love that, and I'm grateful that you took the time to really break that down. I have one more question on that. Now, would you consider frequency and vibration to be the same? And what is the difference if not?
It's a great question. I think that they can be used synonymously. I mean, I've heard them used very synonymously. Because yeah, it's just the yeah, I do like I've heard another term that I've heard is resonance, you know. It's
Yes. And
another
the
term.
reason I ask that is
Yeah.
because a lot of times it's really to decode the wording of something because people get trapped up in, even like you're talking about the tuning forks, which is just another sound healing modality.
Yeah.
And to be clear that, it's really the same, just, people have different terms for different words, but same meaning. So I think that's important to point out because what you're speaking about is really high level healing. And most people who have this interest don't have all of that knowledge yet to understand. So, like, one of the things that's really popular now is the raising of vibration, right? You hear that word used a lot. So when you think about raising your vibration, vibration is a level of frequency. But then once it starts getting up to the realms that you're speaking of, so it's kind of like that level up that I was speaking of. Do you agree with that, or how would you explain that?
Yeah, it's I think that yeah, it's I think that the logical mind will always try to will always get a little bit tripped up on like what is it like? So you try to it's so funny because frequency just is. It's like it's that which can be challenging for the logical mind, right? Because the logical mind wants to know exactly the how and what can what compartment can I put it in to make it make sense. But you know, frequency just is when you ask the question like, what is happiness? Like the subtleties of the different types of happiness and joy that you feel, like it's just an embodied experience, right? That it just is like Or one of the words that comes through a lot today is the word light codes, right? And the best way I can explain like codes would be this is like bring it to like the analogy of like a computer. If you're designing a website and you see all those like that coding, all those letters and numbers that were like, I don't know what all that is, right? But so you have all these codes, right? So if you had a website that had a green background, but you wanted to change it to a blue background, you would go in there, you would go into the back end of the website, you'd have someone go in there and you'd or yourself go in there and you would change the code, whatever those numbers and digits are or whatever. And then when you put in the coding for the blue background, you'd save it. And then now when you back up from the website, look, you have a blue background now, which is what you wanted. Light codes work in a very similar way. They just help to change the coding of how you're presenting yourself to the world and how you're feeling and how you're expressing. So it's a very fast way to go in there and basically change your internal programming in a very quick way that doesn't take as much time as like combing through the individual thoughts of the logical mind. It just shifts it quickly in the moment. And that is something that when people feel that, they're like, oh, it didn't take me 20 years in therapy to get through this. I'm like, oh, yeah, it can actually happen. It speeds things up. It speeds up time. And I say this jokingly, but also kind of not jokingly, like time is your most precious form of like real estate. Time is the most valuable thing that we have. So to spend it more in the expression of how we actually want to feel, I think is the most important thing.
Yeah, collapsing those timelines and healing and releasing. I love that. Now, share with us, how did you get into this line of work? Was it something that you knew from a young age that you had these abilities? Or like what happened in your life? I know you were saying you were ill and you kind of healed yourself, but before, during, and after that, how would you say that you connected to your intuition, and how did it help you or not help you along the path?
Absolutely. So when I was growing up, I could feel presences around me as a kid. As a child, I could feel like sometimes I would feel other people that were like in the room, but I would talk to them. I would sometimes learn their names. Sometimes it was family members that had passed on. And as a child, you're kind of told that you're either talking to yourself or that it's like an imaginary friend. And I don't think that any imaginary friends are imaginary friends. I think that they're probably spirit guides or passed on family members, part of their soul group, something like that. And so I had interacted with that a little bit growing up, but then kind of, believed what my parents said. Oh, you're just talking to yourself. Oh, it's just an imaginary friend. So that kind of shut it down a little bit. But I always, whenever I trusted my instincts, I always found that I was able to create in my life what I wanted really quickly. And when I was in high school, a very dear friend of mine started to introduce me to like concepts of like telepathy and other things like that, where I was like, oh, I'm like, I didn't think any of that stuff was real. I thought it was just a bunch of woo-woo nonsense, And he started to like, we would get together with some of our friends and we would kind of start to like train each other on kind of abilities and things like that. Where so in high school, we're like, we were not like partying and stuff like that. We were getting together doing little psychological and like an energetic exercises together, like just practicing and playing in that energy and really learning very quickly that I could sense and feel energy in a very powerful way. And it was very empathic from a young age. And so from that point on, I was like, I knew that this is what I wanted to do with my life. I was hooked. I started taking classes on chakra work, the healing touch, technique. And then I started, learning about the chakras, the energy centers, and then took a little I could feel the energy, but I didn't know as much what to do with it until in like 2011-ish, when I had originally started to come down with like some mild like chronic illness stuff, just related to kind of GI health, and that started the healing journey of learning about the subconscious mind. And so like it was a path that like it just the next stepping stone always kind of appeared, in front of me at the right time. Like there was a break for a couple years, like I went to college, wasn't really thinking about it much during that time, but then afterwards, like was, just started to get really fully immersed in it again and really started to see that from like 2011 to 2016, really did all this like very deep subconscious reprogramming work, became certified in a practitioner in that work. And then from then, it was a couple of years later when I ended up, getting very sick and very injured around the same time. And that was when I put all of those subconscious tools to test, but I realized that there was something that more that was available. There was a deeper level that could be accessed. And that was when I had started to, really get introduced to like the very high frequency, like quantum work, which is more really being able to see the entire quantum field and be able to interact with it in that way. Like I say, where I'm seeing, tattooed emotions and all those things, So that didn't come online until around like 2021, where I could really see it all extremely clearly. And once that happened, it was like just the amalgamation of all the work from just, this was over a period of 17 years of learning and growing and changing with it that really brought it all together and allowed it to be something that was much more advanced. And so that's why now when I work with, people, it's like they can experience shifts very, very quickly just because it's there's a just a deep understanding there of how the human mind works and how to to use the right energy and to invite people and call them forward in a way that really helps them open up and really surrender to the entire experience in the process.
I love that. And I just love your way of explaining it. One of the questions that I have for myself and for the audience, because I think it's important, as you explained from a young age, like 17, we weren't partying, we were having sacred ceremonies of energetic exchanges and all of these beautiful things. But I think that may have gave you a stronger foundation to move forward. But can you talk about a time, if there ever was one, where there was fear of moving forward or fear of the unknown or just a stillness in you from moving forward, or however you would explain it, if you ever experienced those times where you knew that there was a higher calling in the work that you were doing and just on your life in general, but you kind of stayed still longer than you maybe would have if you were where you are now, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So, I think there were definitely a couple of times of that in my life, and one of them was definitely when I was in like a very abusive relationship with the man who happened to be a narcissist. And that I express this to my clients and things like that, but like the company that you keep is very important because your energy is everything. And if you're in a space with somebody who is very happy to take from you or, pull from you or put you down in a way, it's like it impacts everything. It impacts like the way that you see the world. It's in that moment, I remember because I was with him for 7 years, and there was a point where I had been, growing still in that relationship for a while, but after I got sick, it was like I just felt stuck for a very long time, and I didn't really see a way to move forward because at that point I was using the subconscious modalities. I was using all these things, all the tools I had in my toolbox, but at that point I still wasn't getting better yet, and there was a piece of resistance there that, like I said, the quantum like energetics really helped to activate and kind of bring me back to life in that way. But the feeling of stuckness was like, and just that like decision paralysis, right? Of just like a feeling of like, I don't know what direction to go. I don't feel like I know what I can do or how I can move. I think that just came from a place of extreme overwhelm because of what I was experiencing in the relationship, the illness that I was experiencing in my body. And it was just a lot to like chew through at the same time. I think overwhelm is a very relatable experience that keeps people in decision paralysis, where we don't make a move at all. But my suggestion in that case is to truly like to like what helped me get out was as I slowly started to like remove myself from the chaos of the mind, which can take you down infinite rabbit holes forever and ever, because our minds are amazing and they can create all kinds of things. But when we're in states of worry, or just fear or overwhelm, it just keeps creating more of that. And so what helps to hit the mute button on that is to drop back into the heart, which can be challenging if we're in that state. But you can find moments of stillness. And when you really lean in and connect with your heart and ask, like, what is the next move? What is the next thing that I do? And really listen to that. That is what helped me start to get out of those freeze states of like, what is a move that I can make right now? Because if you even do like 1% of difference every single day, just 1%, the human mind's like, I'm gonna do everything right now and be like super, like super bad about it. I'm gonna
It's
like,
now or never. Everything
yeah,
has to happen.
I'm gonna go from doing, 0% of what I want to 100% of what I want. And then what happens? We like crash, burn, and then we're back to like, nope, that was entirely too much too quickly. But even just 1% of difference, it will change things. It has to, because you're different and you're showing up differently, and the universe responds to that. And so that is a great way to pull yourself out of fear, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do kind of states.
You said something at the beginning of your explaining so beautifully that really stood out. And if you can kind of elaborate more around that, you talked about the company that you keep and the people and the energies and the frequencies that you have around you, right? And everything is energy, everything is a vibration. Can you speak to if you noticed once you removed yourself or even in the process of being in, I like to call it the mud. How much of your daily thoughts were even yours? Can you think back to that time, or did you ever realize like I wasn't even processing my own emotions or feelings? Did you experience that, or did you notice that you experienced that? And can you speak to that, and what was that like? And how did you come to the awareness of it, and did it happen many times? And you kind of like what was that experience all over?
Yeah, so this was actually like a concept that I had really learned from one of my mentors, Kyra Casey in particular. She really helped me with this, because it's not just about like, what's that phrase that, like your life will be like reflected kind of by like the five people that you spend the most time with or whatever. And that's like a phrase that's very common. And I would argue that it's everybody. It's everybody that you choose to keep in contact with, everybody that you choose to engage with and interact with. Because anytime that you're talking to somebody, anytime that you're connecting with somebody or working with somebody, like that's an exchange of energy there. And so it's like, look, I mean, we can't always control our, like you're not going to be able to control like how, if you have a boss that's acting kind of, kind of a prickly, like we can't, like that's not something that, we have as much control over. But like you can choose the way that you show up in those connections, and or in, especially in your personal life, you can choose the connections entirely. And I found that, especially when I was in that, previous relationship, that it's like people's energies will influence you. You will start seeing things in a like similar way, because you guys are around each other so much. People, it's so funny, like on a psychology level, people start using similar, excuse me. People even start using similar phrases when they're in a relationship together. You start talking in a way where you're like, wait, that's like something that he says, like, so we mimic each other. Like there is a huge energy exchange that's happening. So I noticed the summer after the summer that I ended things with my former partner, the amount of physical energy that I had skyrocketed. Chronic fatigue almost vanished immediately. I was like, wow, it was just a, it was like an energy vampire situation, that I was unknowingly allowing. And then once you feel your energy come back, then you're like, oh my God, it's like the battery rebooted. Here I am.
Holy moly,
And
I'm recharged.
I'm like, I feel great. I was like, wow, who is she? I don't know. Like she was sleepy. I'm like, this version of me is like full of energy. And like, and I remember feeling that in a very, very clear way. And that was actually the summer that when I went back and I went to the doctor's office, I saw that my blood work had changed and my autoimmune markers were like three times less what they had been before. I was like, oh, so like real measurable, discernible change. And I felt that like now, like I noticed that when I have set boundaries with people that weren't respecting me, or sometimes walked away from friendships or relationships where people there, where there wasn't that mutual respect or consideration there, everything in my life would change. I would start to attract more aligned clients. I would start to have just beautiful, like just synchronicities happening all around me, where the things would just happen the right place at the right time. You just like that. It's like you're just riding on easy street. And I think that's really, I think it's more of a testament to like the company that you keep really like reflecting your level of alignment within yourself. And
Absolutely.
yeah, and when you do that, and when you really align yourself consistently and just with integrity and really just speaking from your heart and like leading with love, but also setting like fiercely loving boundaries when you need to, that is just the ticket to just really creating in a very quick way what it is that you desire.
I love that, and I definitely agree with everything you just said. I just want to add a quick story. I remember, oh, it probably was about 5 years ago. I had a friend who would use my energy. Like I could feel people that, would come around me for healing, but I've always been that person that people just feel safer and healed when they come around me, even before I was doing the energy work knowingly. I was doing it. You know how that kind of goes. But one day, she just popped up out of my house out of nowhere, and it was so beautiful. She brought me flowers, and she's like, "Oh, I just came to give you a hug." And so, we talked for a little while, and she went on about her way. And I mean, like when she left, I felt completely depleted. And I mean, she wasn't even there for like 30 minutes, no more than an hour. I don't even think it was a full hour. And I was like, and when she came, I'm like literally getting all these messages flooding me of like everything she's moving through, going through, and all of these different things. And at the time, I was working with one of the most beautiful people that I know that do all of these magical miracle healings. And I called her, and I'm like, "Oh, I need to do a session." And I knew exactly what had happened, but I was so flabbergasted. Like it was that point. And I think this is important to everything that you just spoke to, because here I am, have been doing the work for a while. I clearly knew what happened to me, but I was so in shock at what happened to me. I had to get like confirmation that, am I going crazy? Did this really happen the way that? And I was like, I don't think she did it intentionally, but like literally she needed energy and she knew where to go and get it from. And like, and like it just like I wasn't expecting it. So I didn't even like have any blockers up. And so this whole story, the importance of it is understanding and paying attention to when people come around you or you go places and you feel totally fine, and then all of a sudden you feel totally drained, pay attention to the frequencies that's happening in your energetic field and when you're going from high level to low level. And so, long story short, the person who I reached out to was like, "Oh yeah, she definitely sucked all of your energy." And I was like, "I don't think she did that problem." She's like, "Well, a part of her conscious knew what she was doing. I don't think it was malicious, but it was definitely purposely. She know when she comes around you that she feels better. So that was her intention, So it's important to understand it doesn't have to look mean or malicious, but when people drain your energy, you need to be aware of that. And no matter who these people are to you, like you said, set clear boundaries. Like energetic boundaries are very important for you to set with yourself on even how you show up to offer your energy, and like making sure that you're pulling it from higher sources and not giving people your energy. And what all of that in going through such a time where, your energy was being drained. Like you say, you were in this relationship for 7 years, and I'm sure it didn't start off that way. But do you have any tips or tricks that you can offer to say, "Hey, this is a way to notice or protect or whatever you feel like sharing around that"? And then maybe even a time where you experienced something similar.
So in those moments, like if you are, interacting with somebody and you just start to notice that you're feeling kind of like lethargic or a little brain foggy or just that general kind of like malaise, like where afterwards, like things don't feel as bright or as sunny, or afterwards, that's a very good indicator that you may have, spent some time around somebody who either intentionally or unintentionally has, been trying to like connect or kind of energetically cord to you, right? It's like it's I have like it's kind of just like a mild tangent, but like I do have compassion for people in those situations because it's like they don't yet know that they can create that within themselves. Like, so when you show up in your radiance, you've already cultivated that within yourself, right? So you're feeling like beamy and like you and the source within you is like aligned and you're like amazing, radiating. And so, and if someone comes up to you and they're like, they come up with a straw, they're like, hey, I want some of that. It's like, because I don't know how to do it yet. That's when, as in terms of like energy techniques, what I have imagined, and this is how you can create kind of in the quantum field. So this very much works. Visualization is an extremely powerful tool that I use every single day when I'm moving energy and when I do it, you can create like, an energetic, shield around you. I mean, really, it's like one of the first things that I learned was about like shielding and things like that. And really, it keeps you in your own energy and it keeps other people out. And so it's like imagining yourself in like an egg of like white glowing light, or whatever color feels best to you, because that's probably like your energy signature kind of color. Mine tends to be a light blue, very similar to this blue, which is why I work with this stone a lot. But so I'll use like a light blue.
What stone is that?
Labradorite.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like they call it the stone of magic, which I find to be very, very accurate. But I love that light blue frequency. So I will use whatever color feels really good, just to create that kind of egg around me, basically setting the intention that like I'm gonna feel only like in my own energy, nothing negative is allowed to come in, only like positive things are allowed to enter through that filter. And I will set that kind of that grid up. I set up grids in my home. I set that up around myself. I do that before I go out and interact in the world, especially in big crowds, because I don't want to be getting a bunch of like psychic interference or people, like, and sometimes people will unintentionally try to like cord to you. Like you said, they feel really good. They want some of that energy, too. So they're like, boop, they just kind of pop on like a little cord. But what you can do in that moment that I have envisioned as well is like, so create the shield. But if you have felt maybe before then, if that something is like is pulling on you and you feel that drain, imagine like just a big like a big almost like sword blade coming in and just like cutting cords. If there's any unhealthy attachments, just from head to toe, just cutting all those cords, and you will feel a shift in your energy if something has been kind of latched on. It's, I mean, these are just, a couple of very simple like techniques, but they really work very powerfully, especially the shielding of being in your own energy. And the real trick gets to be where it's like you realize that just by shifting your own frequency and being more in your energy, you can feel if somebody's about to encroach, and you can just simply say, like, you set the frequency right within yourself, and you're like, I'm just not available for that. Like, so, and that will change how you interact with them. Let's say, like, I'm not, you can even set, so it'll get to a point where you don't even need to necessarily shield anymore. You just say, no, I'm just not available for that. I'm in my own energy, and I see you as a sovereign being that you have your own energy. So, and that creates kind of a shield unintentionally. Like, it just does it where you set the frequency right, and you just say, not available for this. And like, I am me, you are you, and that's beautiful. And being able to, it creates love, but also safe, healthy boundaries too.
I love that. And I think cutting cords was one of the grounding and cutting cords were like one of the foundations to like even connecting to your discernment and your intuition, like being fully in your own presence and energy. And do you think that that is something that helped you get more clearer, or how would you explain, like, what was the defining point, if there was one, of you just being clear that even in the relationship that you were in, or just any part of your life, how did it affect you to become more grounded and clear and just in your own frequency on how you move throughout your life? Do you notice the difference in, like, how can you speak to that?
Yeah, so one of the, one of, so I experienced like when I was still in that relationship, And when I first started learning the really high frequency modalities, it was a huge shift. And I really got acquainted more with myself in a very different way. It was like, because it brought up all this old stuff that I was still holding on to, you know, that I realized I was like, oh, where I'm going, I can't take this with me, can I? I'm like, but it's.
Trust me, and there's levels to that always, right?
I was like, oh no, but it's my pile of garbage. I want it, you know, like, you know, and but I really actually didn't, right? You know, your soul calls you forward, says like, this isn't actually you. And if you want to become who you really want to be in this world, you get to let go of these old stories and you get to start showing up differently. And so the real, it happened, like there were a couple big moments of huge awareness, like when I started taking those, like really, you know, in experiencing the high frequency energetics and things like that. But what really helped me create more from that space was taking action steps that were in alignment in the setting of boundaries, in taking action steps more towards what it was that I desired to create. And what it did is it created a very, very deep sense of self-trust. And that is something that I think that a lot of people are still are now are starting to really wake up to, is that I've heard, how many times have I heard people say that, like, oh, I don't trust myself to be alone because my mind is a scary place. Well, what if you could? What if you could trust yourself? What if you could look at that aspect of your mind, and instead of going, I am afraid that it's gonna take me down a rabbit hole that I won't get out of, and that I'm gonna have to, you know, numb myself out or self-destruct or crash out or, you know, like whatever. What if you could just look at it with the most love and be like, I see you, and it's actually okay that you're here. And then have that part go, that part of you will then go, oh, okay. You know, and that
That.
it starts to change the game. You can still experience the emotion around it, but it comes from a completely different place, and you develop that self-trust muscle, and that becomes, you know, very big over time. And then you start to move very confidently and securely in the world, knowing that, you know, regardless of what happens in your world, you've got you always.
Yeah, I love that. The next question that I wanted to ask you is about family. Because a lot of times when people are tapping into a deeper version of their self, and like you said, that sitting alone with your thoughts and like, oh, these things are coming up to me. Do I want to share them? Especially when you think about religious backgrounds, which we're not even going to go into, but like, oh, well, what will my family think if I want to tap into my infinite possibilities? What does that even mean? Can you speak to how your family interprets your work? And was it ever a time where you felt fear of allowing them, or is this like a theme in your family where people are intuitive and, you know, celebrate their intuition? I mean, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, so I mean, I, you know, come from a, you know, family where it's like, they're pretty high achievers, you know, and so there was definitely, like, growing up, like a certain pressure to succeed and a or an expectation. It was kind of like, it just was the thing that's like, well, of course you'll be successful. Like, that's what we just do, you know. And it was kind of like, but it was encouraging, but also a lot of pressure. You know, so it's like, I come from a family of, you know, doctors, lawyers, you know, like a lot, very high achieving, you know, teachers. I mean, just a lot of very high achieving people. And so, where education, you know, is extremely, like, valued. And so when I originally, like, I went to college, you know, and I got, like, my bachelor's degree. But after that, I made a rogue turn that kind of shook the family a little bit. And then I was like, I want to become a massage therapist. And they were like, what? What do you mean? You just went to a 4-year university. Why are you going to a trade school after you just got your degree? The degree was supposed to be like the magic ticket that got you whatever you wanted. But I think that's before we learned that, like, I think that's before millennials learned that, like, just because you have a bachelor's degree does not automatically mean success the way that it did for your parents' generation. So I was in that transitional, like, phase with that kind of group. So they were like, what do you mean you want to be a massage therapist? And I saw it as a way to easily make money while I build an energy work practice. So that was what the intention for that was to fuse, you know, to do that. And so that ruffled my family's feathers in a big way, where they were like, they're like, what? So, and there was some judgment. Like, there was a bit of
So
judgment.
did you tell them that you were going to make money doing that while she worked on the energy practice business, or just you just tell them about the massage therapy part?
Oh, I told them about all of it, and it was kind of like there was questioning, there was doubt, there was like, well, what about the science behind it? This isn't even real. How do you even, know? Like, and so, and then what about the health insurance? Was the what about the benefits? And they were like, how are you going to make sure that you get enough clients a week? And I'm like, I guess I'll just figure it out. Like, I don't know. And there, but, and so I got a lot of projections of fears. And from people that like loved me and they wanted, like, where it comes from because they love you and they want you to be successful and they want things,
Yeah.
but it's
It's
still,
out of their own fear that they're kind of imposing on you.
yeah. And that took like some, and that took some courage to weed through that because I was just like, oof, I'm like, I don't know, like what, like I for a while there, I was like kind of observing what they were saying and feeling it, and it didn't feel good, and it made me kind of go, man, how am I going to do this? But my heart kind of kept really pulling me forward, and it was like, you'll figure it out. Like, and opportunities kept showing up. Like, I was originally, like, before I moved from Chicago to California, I was in Chicago, I was, working at an acupuncture clinic, and it was funny because, like, already a network was sort of building for me there if I wanted to use it, right? For my massage practice. So it was like, I kind of realized, I'm like, whatever I decide I want to do, it's like I can create wherever I want, and I started to see that like within myself and started to trust that. Like I was starting to build that trust muscle even back then where I was like, I was like, if I'm just being myself and connecting with people in the way that I do and bringing good work to the table, I can build. And so I went, huh. So I decided to, like, I basically said to everybody, thank you so much for your concern. And I'm gonna go ahead and do it anyways, and so I moved out to California when I was 23 to launch my massage practice. And I, it took me down a path where for a while I was doing all like massage, for a while, but I ended up working with a team of like elite pediatric physicians, like some of the best pediatric physicians in the world. And so it's like it took me down, I just trusted the path. And so, but when dealing with like family, I think that you can take what they say into consideration, but keep your heart's mission as the focus because or sometimes if you can help it, like maybe even keep it to yourself for a little while. Maybe don't share for a little bit. Just, because if you know that you're going to have someone who's going to, like, if especially if you've shared with somebody before and you know that they're going to be projecting a lot of that fear just because it hasn't been their experience to have a business or to explore intuitive gifts or things like that, maybe like share it with the people that you know that you can receive support from, and no matter what, really hold strong onto your vision. Like really, really hold strong onto your vision within yourself. And so by the time that you do really share it openly with family again, it's like it's not even a question anymore. It just is. And then they can, and if they still can't accept it at that point, it's okay. Like you can love your family, but just know that there are maybe certain people that you can talk about with certain things and others that maybe you can't as much. And it's not because they're bad or wrong. It's just their lived experience and their kind of level of consciousness at this point. So it's having, I think it's just having those boundaries because it's like we want our family to support us. It's like
Yeah.
on a very basic instinctual level, we want our people to be supportive of what we do and support us being who we truly are. And in some family systems, sadly, that doesn't always happen. And so we kind of create our own family. I call it like my soul family, my soul group, my soul circle, like of aligned souls and aligned energy of like the people that you can really talk to about anything and like those, your chosen family, truly. And so I think it's a balance of just like healthy boundaries and just understanding that love is at the root of all of it, and it's just being expressed the best way that it knows how by people in the moment.
I love that. So, what advice would you give someone who is at the beginning, middle, or wherever in their journey? Just a golden nugget that you wish you would have had along the way, and when you got it, it was like major. game changing to just your journey?
This is a phrase that I did not understand for many, many years. And when I first heard it, it made me so mad. It made me so mad. I was like, ah. And it's that you have everything that you need inside you. Everything. There is no answer outside of you. It's all inside you. All of it. And if you just tune the dial in to be able to listen, you will get each and every individual step that will lead you to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing of what exactly what it is that you need to be successful in any area of life, love, health, career, whatever, like, and just your own expansion, whatever that is, it is already encoded inside of you. You have the blueprint already. It's already there.
I absolutely love that. And I love that saying. And what does it mean to you now?
It means that like my heart always knows the next best step, always, and that I can trust that.
And I just feel to share because the same heard that saying and like, okay, but what does that mean? How do I access it? That was my thing. Okay, if it's inside of me, how do I get it out of me? And this is serious business here, and like, no jokes aside, I'm laughing, but I'm serious here.
I know, I know.
Now, what it means to me is that I am enough. I am enough and I am everything that I need to be right here and right now. Because the thing is, in like you said, every aspect of our life, we're looking outside. We want to outsource our happiness. We want to outsource our joy. We want to outsource our love. We want to feel like we want to even outsource our confirmation that we are who we are. And even I remember doing the work and, even taking courses, I tell people this all the time. I would take courses and it got to a point where it's like, okay, I may spend however much on the course. It doesn't matter how much you spend on it, but it's like, oh, this wasn't for me to learn anything. This was for confirmation. It's like, okay, I'm just taking confirmation courses now. It got to that point for me, like literally, like, I'm taking courses. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to know this so I can be fill in the blank. And then I'm like, I know all of this. Like, why are you not feeling like you're enough? So then I had to understand. And it's like, even with accessing all the different realms, and like you're talking about the different healing modalities, and there's a vast variety. There's too many to even know all of them, right? Every time I turn around, I'm hearing of a new modality. I'm like, ooh, that sounds yummy. And it's like a kid in a candy store, right? But the thing about it is, we have access to all of these things. And I remember wanting to learn light language. And I mean, I was just so attracted to light language. And then taking a light language course and realizing, like, oh, I've been doing light language symbols and signs and seeing all of these different things all alone. It's like, and so the point that I'm making here is most of the time when we have this yearning and calling, this because the codes are already there. It's just to reawaken them, you know?
Absolutely. And I love that the confirmation courses, that's so great. Like, so incredible. It's like, wait a minute. That makes sense. Well, I already kind of, okay. Like, yeah, the intuition already knows. So it's like, I think that every modality that exists out there, and there are so many, and they're all so perfect in their own way, and each and every single one is just guided to guide you back home to you in a way that the logical mind can get on board with, in a way that creates the least resistance so that you can receive it and really surrender into it. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that you have people that can do it through light language or through art or music or sound or just like there are infinite different ways to do it, and there's no wrong way. It's just your way. And
Absolutely, yes, I love that.
yeah.
You know something, as you were talking and I'm listening, and this is just so beautiful, and I know we're running low on time, but Even in my own courses that I share with my collective, I tell people I'm really not teaching you anything. I'm reawakening you to what's already coded inside of you. And as you said, you took in many different modalities to kind of embody your embodiment of work in the confirmation courses. Have you ever felt like, oh, a part of you know this, or like, oh, okay, it's a new awakening, but how much of it just felt like home to you? Can you speak to that?
Oh my gosh. There, when I first took my like more quantum courses, that was when that hit me, where it was like it had particularly happened in relationship to my father's passing and the grief that I was moving through with that, where it's like in his human life experience, I never really got to have the full like experience that I want, like the healthy relationship that I wanted with dad, you know, kind of like energy. And so I, when I was introduced to this quantum work, it's like it activated something so deep within me that it was like the deepest remembrance of like, this was the missing piece. This was finally, I felt home. Like I felt home and I realized I was like, oh, it was just like this missing chunk that had never really been there, or if it was there in a very limited capacity throughout my whole life, and it brought it into balance in such a way that I was like, oh my God. It was like discovering a new color on the rainbow, and it's what brought everything together to make the rainbow the full spectrum. It's the best way I can describe it.
I love that. I don't think you need to describe it any other way. That was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Of
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Is
course.
there anything that we didn't cover that you want to share with the collective about your journey, advice, wisdom, and then also letting them know where to find you?
Sure, absolutely. I'm trying to think. I mean, we've uncovered a lot, or you know, talked about a lot today. This has been thorough and fabulous. I'm like, yeah,
Thank you.
but you know, I would say that, you know, as in terms of just advice, you know, just going forward, it's one to just really, really, really trust yourself. Like it just really keep trusting yourself and keep going, because it's like your path to success is inevitable if you just keep listening to yourself. Just keep listening to your heart. Like there is nothing that you can't do or be or have when you keep listening and keep being guided by the internal compass within. So just keep going. That is like, you know, I guess the final kind of words that I would offer there. And then for those of you that want to find me, you can find me on Instagram. My handle there is I am Kara Amenta, and I'm on Facebook as well for under Kara Amenta, and that's a way that we can stay in touch and stay connected.
Thank you. And there'll be links below this video everywhere I post it for your website and stuff
Oh,
as
yes.
well.
That's important too. My website, blueamara.com. There it is. Yeah. Oh, I forgot that one. Yes.
I'm not gonna let you forget. The world needs to
Like
find you.
little important, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes, thank you so much, Kara. Your light is so bright. I love just being in your orbit, and I'm grateful for you being here and sharing, all of your wisdom with the collective. And one final little thing, you said trust yourself. Can you give us just a little bit of a tip on what that looks like in real time?
It means that when you are in a moment of confusion, that is the mind taking over. That's the mind, or what we call the ego, egoic mind taking over, right? Because the heart always knows. So if you're in a state of, I don't know what to do, I'm like, like there's conflict, whatever, that is the moment to take a deep breath, put your hand on your heart, drop in, and ask and listen to the voice of what the heart has to say. Because the voice of the heart will always be calm and knowing, whereas the voice of the mind will be more frantic, more frenzied, more urgency, right? And the voice of the heart just knows, and it just is. So the more that you can connect to that and keep trusting that, and and most importantly, then taking action steps from that will guide you down the path.
This has been amazing. I'm so grateful for you and your work. Create a beautiful rest of your day. And it was so lovely to have you here on the Heal Out Loud show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me today. This was a pleasure. Thank you so much.